biosimilars an opportunity? Have growth prospects from the US reduced? Have growth prospects from India increased? Which are the top sell-side ideas in the pharmaceutical and healthcare space currently? What are the trends these experts are predicting in the pharmaceutical and healthcare space? Tune in to the third series of The Medicine Box, where I, Ekta Batra, talk to the top six sell-side analysts covering the Indian pharma and healthcare space and drill down to all of their ideas on trends and stocks.
Our guest on today's podcast is Anshuman Gupta of Investec. Anshuman started his career with Dr. Reddy's and went on to work with Glenmark and Wockhardt. He joined Investec sell side in 2017 to lead the pharmaceuticals healthcare sector after a two-year stint with D.E. Shaw & Company, which is on the buy side covering U.S. pharma. Anshuman, hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ekta. How are you?
Good. Well, Anshuman, let's start with the fact that you're generally cautious on the Indian pharmaceutical sector. Tell us why.
So I think we have been cautious on the sector for some time now. I think the headwinds that the industry faced in the last couple of years have abated. But I think the pace of recovery that the street expects, or in general, the expectation on the recovery is pretty high. We think that there is going to be recovery in the sector, but it's going to be slow. And most of the stock prices actually reflect the recovery that is going to come through. So the other thing is that the large recovery for the sector is going to come from the US, where we continue to remain negative. We think that the challenges in the US have not abated. Competitive intensity plus FDA's focus on approving more and more products will continue to drive down returns for the industry as a whole. So because US is still the largest growth market for the industry, we continue to remain cautious on the sector.
Okay. What would make you probably incrementally negative from cautious and incrementally positive from here on?
So incrementally positive is if I see very strong recovery in the US, in the sense that we at Investec have done very detailed analysis of the sector, and especially for the US, and we realize that despite all the pain that we have seen in the US for the last 3 years, the number of ANDA filings actually have not abated. Neither we have seen companies, shutting shop, right? So I think the kind of R&D and capacity investments that have gone in the last 3-4 years in the industry are continuing to play out. So the time when we start seeing that the number of players, there are more number of players who are exiting, and we start seeing that R&D and capex dedicated towards the US goes down a little bit, I think that's when we think that there could be a very strong recovery that could follow. What could make us more negative? Clearly, from here on, if markets other than US really do not perform, I mean, if you see India for the last 3-4 years, we have seen a high single-digit kind of growth in India, whereas the historical run rates for the Indian market have been close to 12-13%. So if we start seeing that the growth for India is stabilizing below 10%, then I think the industry is in for a challenge, because a large part of valuation comfort that the investors have is because of the very strong cash flow coming from India.
Okay, well, strong cash flow coming from India. But Anshuman, I'll touch on that point about the Indian markets and the growth potential there in just a bit. But there seems to be a divergent view in terms of what the US market could, basically have in store going forward. Price pressure, according to some, is abating. And according to some, price pressure still exists. Which house are you in, and what is your expectation on the same as well?
So yeah, I think we are in the same house as largely the street or the industry, where people and companies have called out saying that price erosion is abating, and that is very clear from the last 2 years, where the price erosion was high double digits. I think it has come to maybe high single digits now. So clearly, I mean, we are in the same camp that pressure is abating. The pressure is not going away. So even at 8-9%, the price erosion is still significant, right? The challenge here is that the way to look at the industry is a little different, right? It's no longer a game of whether price erosion is stabilizing or not. I think the key question is, where do these companies actually get growth from? So if you see the, as I said, a large part of growth is still built from the US and from very large products, where we have seen competitive intensity actually continue to go up, especially on the complex generic side. So I think that's where I think the challenge is. We are a believer in recovery, but the recovery is going to be much, much slower in the US versus what Street is expecting. Just to give you a perspective, the Street is forecasting about 25% EPS CAGR over the next 2 years for the sector as a whole, especially for the companies which are operating in the US. So that's, to us, is a little stretched. So which is why we have remained cautious in the sector.
Okay. So you think that despite price pressure abating, the amount of genericization due to competition and US FDA approvals will still keep that price pressure intact? It might abate, but it'll still remain intact.
Yeah, so I think, as I said, the way to look at the industry is that there are two parts to the US business. One is the base business, which is like, let's say for any company, the last year's numbers, and the growth will come from new launches, right? The challenge is that the pricing pressure has abated on the base business side, but the pricing pressure on the new launches has not abated. So what I mean by that is that historically, if you look at the trend, if there are five or six generics on the market, you would see 85 to 90% erosion. Now when you have five or six players on the market, the erosion is upwards of 95%. So the opportunity size itself is shrinking, you know, even with four or five people on the market. So clearly the challenge is that the growth expectations have to taper down. So to that extent, if you combine the base business and new launches combined, I think pricing pressure is not abating, to sum up everything.
Okay. All right. What about India? You expect maybe double-digit growth anytime soon? You said it's high single digits at this point.
So I think all our focus actually built in double-digit growth for most of the companies from here on, right? And I think the lower base for the last couple of years, plus there were quite a few policy changes like demonetization, GST, which were implemented in India. So I think all this hopefully is in the base, and we expect that FY20 onwards we'll start seeing double-digit growth for the sector as a whole.
But there are a lot of, these kind of impediments which seem to be arising in the Indian market. So, for example, Jan Aushadhi, the generic stores which are coming up. Do you think that eventually that could be a real threat to Indian companies? In terms of pricing, maybe not on quality.
Sure. I think that is one trend we are very closely watching. We have actually last couple of months done very detailed research on what's happening in the Indian pharma space. So coming Jan Aushadhi stores coming up, a lot of private players actually entering the generic medicine shop. I think those are interesting trends. Still, I think from an impact perspective, I think it's still quite nascent. They are still less than 5% of the overall market. So we do expect that, you know, this is going to be a trend which has to be keenly watched. But at this point of time, we are not seeing a big sort of impact coming on the Indian pharma market from these Jan Aushadhi stores or other generic initiatives that we have seen in the industry. So I think it's wait and watch. Certainly a risk that is emerging, but we'll still reserve our statement that, you know, growth will still be pretty good, pretty solid for the Indian market over the next couple of years.
So how much will growth be according to you?
We do expect about 11-12% of growth going forward for the Indian pharma market.
Okay. You've done some work on China, Anshuman. You know, the fact that it's probably turning out to be an opportunity or maybe a threat at this point. What's your research throwing up?
So I think what we did is we did research on Chinese companies who are trying to work out something in the US. It's a pretty interesting trend. If you see historically, Chinese companies were not somebody who were expected to make it big in the US formulations market. They've been solid suppliers of API and key raw materials to the US, but never been a player on the US generics formulation side, right? So what we have observed is last couple of years, there has been a very strong kind of approvals coming for Chinese companies in the US. So this is contrary to everybody's belief that, you know, Chinese guys will not do anything in the US. I think the bigger trend which is supposed to be highlighted is the fact that barriers to entry are going lower and lower. I mean, if Chinese guys
so
are able to crack
small
some
molecules,
of the complex generics.
Anshuman, this is for small molecules, or is it across the range? Say, for example, you're talking about small molecules, biosimilars, complex generics, across the board?
So we haven't delved into Chinese companies in US on the biosimilar side as of now. What we have seen is largely on the small molecules and the complex generic side. That's where we have focused our research on right now. But considering that, you know, they are trying to become a little bigger in the US, I don't think that they wouldn't enter biosimilars as a space. So it's still something that we will have to wait and watch. But yeah, something that could certainly come up.
Okay. Well, you know, Anshuman, I was just looking at your cell calls, which you have. It's on Sun, Dr. Reddy's and Lupin. Yeah. I mean, all of the key generic companies which are focused towards the US. Is it because of their exposure to the US? What's that common theme that you have, which you probably are a little uncertain about?
Sure. I think especially for Lupin and Reddy's, our cell calls are based on the fact that these companies derive a large part from the US, and also a large part of the forthcoming growth is also going to come from the US. More importantly, I mean, these companies, the forecast assume that significant growth will come in from the US, but also assume that the significant growth is based on two or three large products. So for example, Reddy's, a large part of the growth over the next 2 years is going to come from two products, Copaxone and NuvaRing. And same with Lupin, say ProAir and Levothyroxine. I think all these large products have a very good chance of underperforming expectations, primarily due to FDA's focus on, you know, approving more and more generics in spaces where there is less competition. So last 1 year, we have incrementally heard only negative news flow around these large products. So that's been our call on both Lupin and Reddy's. On Sun, I think the specialty business is a great initiative that the company has taken. I think the way they have built up the specialty business is incredible. But at the same time, we think that it is going to take some time to actually start making significant returns from the specialty initiatives. So we have been cautious in the near to medium term on the company, primarily because we think earnings will be quite back-ended and it's not going to show up in the next couple of years.
What about this whole issue with regards to Aditya MediSales? They've done the restructuring, Atlas Global reversing that transaction. Has it assuaged concerns for Sun?
So I think, I mean, on this really, I think Sun is doing whatever they could do best, clearly. We are really not focusing too much on these issues right now. I think for us, business is supreme. We want to clearly focus on the business, and I think whatever Sun has done all these years on specialty is something that we look forward to.
For Dr. Reddy's and Lupin, the other common theme between both of them is the fact that they have US FDA pending issues. Dr. Reddy's for, say, the Srikakulam API facility, I think the Bachupali plant also received some observations. Lupin, we've seen for the Mandideep plant, etc. How important are those issues for it to be resolved and to your thesis?
Yeah, so, I mean, we at Investec, really, I mean, we do look at these plant issues as an impediment for growth for all these companies. But clearly, what we built in is typically, I mean, if any company faces any challenges on the FDA side, I mean, if it's not a warning letter, typically we assume that, you know, within reasonable time frame, these plant issues will get cleared. So that's the way to look at it, because there is no real way of judging, you know, which way FDA will decide on some of these issues. So it's possible that Lupin's plants get cleared tomorrow, despite the OAI status that we have seen for a couple of their plants. So it's a difficult area for us as analysts to actually delve into with certainty. But what we try to believe is that, you know, companies taking all the necessary steps to come out of these issues. And clearly, over the next couple of years, we should see most of these issues going away for companies.
Okay. Aurobindo and Cipla, your two buys. Aurobindo, majority of their business, in fact, comes from the overseas market. So what is it that you like about the company?
I think the most interesting part of Aurobindo has been the basic model. We call it the basic model at Investec. I mean, it's very basic in the sense that the company has focused on low cost of manufacturing and lower spend on R&D. And the idea is to launch more and more products in the US and cover up for any base erosion. The other interesting bit for Aurobindo has been that their base business has been very solid. They have also faced price erosion, but because most of the large products are not very large, I mean, no single product is more than 5 or 6% of their US sales, has helped them a lot. So let's say top 10 products for Aurobindo are less than 25% of their US sales, so which has actually helped them. And if you see last 3-4 years when the entire industry was reeling, Aurobindo is the only company which has grown on an organic basis in the US. And this is, I think, probably the only company in the world which has grown organically to the same, I mean, for the last 3-4 years. So it's incredible. We really like the business model per se, and which is why we have a buy. If there is going to be a big US generics recovery, and I think Aurobindo will be a big participant to that. And is also because they have a very large portfolio.
Do you expect maybe the PE multiples to probably move up for Aurobindo? Because that's always been a concern.
So I think from current levels, we do not expect any great re-rating unless we start seeing a significant ramp up on the branded side. They recently acquired a company in the US for about $150 million. It's a branded play. So if the branded franchise and the biosimilars play actually play out over the next couple of years, then we see re-rating. In the near term, we do not see any re-rating. I think the earnings growth could actually pick up once they acquire Sandoz or they complete Sandoz acquisition. So I think that's where we are focused on. We think there are a good amount of synergies that can come from Sandoz and actually drive EBITDA margin improvement as well as earnings growth.
And what is it about Cipla that you like?
So Cipla, I mean, I think one of the companies which has the best growth mix among Indian pharma. So if you see, they have a very solid India business, which is pretty large. They're among the top 5 companies in India. Then they have a South African business where they are a top player in South Africa. And they have a US business which is not contributing to EBITDA at this stage. But it is at a point, the US business is at a point where it can actually grow. So about $450 million, I think it's right size to actually start growing in the US. Another 10-15% growth for the next 2 or 3 years cannot be ruled out in the US. And that's where I think significant earnings growth could come through for the company.
Okay. All right, Anshuman. Well, just leave us with what you think would probably be a larger theme that would play out in FY20 for the pharmaceutical space.
I think all eyes on FY20 are going to be on the specialty pipeline. Multiple companies have invested, especially all the big guys have invested quite significantly in the specialty initiative. So I think we'll see a lot of hopefully positive news flow around the specialty, and that's something to watch out for. There is a significant potential for the stocks to go up if specialty actually does well in the near term. So I think that's where my eyes would be, and I'm going to do a lot more work on that now.
Okay, all right, Anshuman, we're going to leave it on that note. Thanks very much for joining into the Medicine Box today and talking to us about the pharmaceutical space. I'm sure we'll have you back on to delve deeper into the pharmaceutical and healthcare space. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ekta. Thanks.